hugs and love to you all on this 1st of September, spring, so-called officially, Australia. What a blessing it is, all the 31st for you on the other side of the world of August. Glad you could join us. What a blessing it is to be alive. And not just alive, but spiritually. In this world that we live in and the unseen that goes on, the great controversy between Christ and Satan, of which we're all actors in this great controversy. I remember a lady saying to me, there's no point dealing with history because you can't do anything to stop it repeating. And do you want to be on the right or wrong side of it? She had no answer. Let us know where we're going to be and follow Jesus. I'd like to share a small story with you. Actually, I think I've shared this earlier, but I suppose it's got such meaning. I'm going to repeat it. A little boy was playing with his toy sailboat on the shore of a quiet lake. The wind pulled the little boat away from the shoreline. He began to cry as the wind pulled the boat further and further away from the shoreline. An older boy came upon the scene and began throwing stones towards the little sailboat. The young boy screamed out, "Why are you throwing stones at my boat?" The older boy replied, "I'm throwing stones on the far side of your boat to create waves to bring it back to you." What's the moral of the story? What can we glean from that? Whenever you and I feel like God is throwing stones at you, they are meant to draw you closer to him, not to drive you away. It's possibly because the winds of life have unconsciously drawn you away from him in some area of your life, perhaps. Think of the book of Job. Job, a real character in the past. He says to all of us, "Trust me, I know what I'm doing." That's why he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." Proverbs 3:5-6. He also says in Jeremiah 29:12-13, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, those who come unto God through him." Well, I've chosen for tonight's opening song a song I've had in here a little while ago, but this time it's with that editing of it has been put in. It's called "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." If anyone knows it, please feel free to take a verse and I'll start us off. "Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm does bind the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea." O Savior, whose almighty word the winds and waves submissive heard, who walked upon the foaming deep and calm amid the rage did sleep, O hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. O Holy Spirit, who did brood upon the waters dark and rude, and bid their angry tumult cease, and give for wild confusion peace, O hear us when we cry to thee, for those in peril on the sea.
O Godhead of heaven, power, your children shield in danger's hour from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them where'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad hymns of praise from land and sea.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis, and welcome, big hugs to you. I like a hymn that seeks to mention all three gods in the Godhead. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer before we start today and open the scriptures and review what we've looked at thus far. Would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free, and thank you very much.
Dear Father in heaven, please watch over us as you watch over the sailors on the sea and those traveling the peril seas and those traveling in this world today. Please watch over us. Send the Holy Spirit to guide us in the right direction, and send the Holy Spirit to teach us all truth, to open up our eyes and ears to truth, and to be with Brother James as he brings us the words of prophecy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, dear sis. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Well, welcome to those that might be coming into the room. Glad you could join us. So we're going to review what we looked at last week. And we looked at verses 12 to 13. And particularly the 10 horns get a mention, and which are said to be 10 kings in verse 12. And we looked at the fact that there are some that believe the number 10 specifies 10 particular kings or nations, kingdoms, others considering it to be a round number and as such to refer to all the powers of the category spoken of as horns, irrespective of their precise arithmetical number. What's interesting is I'm going to give you a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. She mentions all the powers of evil working toward that one end. And I'm not so sure that cancels out that the 10 could be specific, because she doesn't say it can't be or can be. We also looked at the hour that is mentioned in verse 12 as being or indicating a brief period of time without specifying its exact length. We also looked at the fact that we're told in verse 9 that here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads of seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So that the 10 horns are connected to the 7 heads. This we know. So we looked at, if that's, as that's the case, we looked at the Club of Rome, who released a report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. And the document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it refers to as kingdoms. Now, you might remember the image. It showed America with Mexico and I think Canada as number one. Interesting. It's quite prophetic as well. But and quite economic terms as well. But what I think is interesting to bear in mind is that if the third view is correct, remember the third view, scarlet colored beast, if the scarlet colored beast is the republicanism, apostate republicanism / Protestantism, apostate Protestantism of the USA, just from that, it would appear that it cannot be one of the horns / 10 kings because it would be the beast itself. And I'm reading that too and I'm thinking, and yet isn't it interesting? The same view says that one of the horns is, of course, the woman as well sitting on the beast. We see this quite a bit. Obviously, if 12:3 of Revelation and 13:1 is correct, the same overlapping occurs there as well, if those views are correct, which it strongly appears definitely in chapter 13 that it is, because one of the heads, not horns, one of the heads is wounded. Now, I want to look at something in relation to what we looked at last week. The scarlet colored beast and the 10 kings. Now, what is your views, brothers and sisters? Do you think whatever your view is, what you think the scarlet beast, colored beast is, do you think it exists, looking at the two verses, 12 and 13, do you believe it exists now or is it yet future?
If you look at the way the priests and cardinals dress in some churches, you would think it's now because they're all dressed in scarlet. And they promote Sunday worship, which is the devil's own religion.
Well, that is a very interesting point. So you're going by that what the woman is doing and how can it exist like that? It's so gaudy looking, except it's alive and well, which we know, of course, it is. It must be sitting on something. That's a real good insight, I think, looking at it from the other way around. Anyone else want to share?
I personally see it as yet future, because the 10 kings are not yet ruling with the beast. And once they do start ruling with the beast and they have one mind, they then will destroy the woman or the church. And we don't see that happening yet. So I look at it still as future.
From that point of view, would you mean the Illuminati doesn't exist as you presented him to be the God of one world? Of course, that's a silly question, isn't it? To say, yes, of course it does. Could you kind of explain that to you?
Well, I was referring to the 10 kings. They have no kingdom yet. They're not yet ruling with the beast. But with the Illuminati, you sort of have a melding of all the secret societies together, and the one particular secret society that manifested itself during the French Revolution was the Illuminati. Now, whether the Illuminati itself was infiltrated or whether all other secret societies have been infiltrated by the Illuminati kind of, you know, remains to be seen, but there is a universal harmony among Satan's forces in the last days. And so that would basically include all secret societies, but it was the Illuminati that was the figurehead, I guess, during the French Revolution.
Oh, thank you for sharing great insight on that. Anyone else want to share anything?
Well, it seems like the power is there. It's like an electric cord that's laying there. It's not connected yet, but it's laying there. It's all ready to be connected, and it's ready to go when the power connects it.
Sure, sure. Interesting way to put it. Yeah. Well, I was looking at this a bit more since our last meeting, and I thought to myself, is it possible that the Scarlet Colour Beast and the Ten Kings exist separately from each other before the Ten Kings shall give their power and strength unto the beast? Because that's Revelation 17:13, which receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, become 10 kingdoms worldwide, and give their kingdom unto the beast, Revelation 17:17. And so I was looking to see if there is any way of at least seeing if that is possible. And as I was looking, I came across, do you remember we were back there probably a year or so ago in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, and we deal with a great red dragon. And it says that it has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, we didn't investigate really into those 10 horns, but the reason I'll just mention this is it's interesting. We probably, no doubt, from memory, roughly what we looked at, we just considered that to be the 10 territories that they occupied. That's pagan Rome. Now, if you remember when pagan Rome began, it was roughly 709 BC. That's usually the date given. A long time ago, of course. But Rome did not have those 10 territories in its beginning. It only progressed to. I mean, a good example of this is England. Pagan Rome gets England 43 BC. So, of course, in John's day, that would make sense. Okay, well, we sort of know that. It's got the 10 territories covered, because in John's day, it's like 90 AD, thereabouts. But if you to be exact, it didn't always have the 10 territories. It was progressive until in John's day, of course, it does have the 10, well, at least from 43 BC, it would appear, taking England from the maps that I've looked at, which are available online, it appears it had all those 10 territories. So why am I mentioning that? Well, one of the reasons is every mention of beasts, there's not much. But every mention of beasts with heads and horns, including the great red, a great red dragon, in the book of Revelation, which is in Revelation 12, verse 3, chapter 13, verse 1 and 11, that's the second beast. Those three instances, they refer to pagan, papal Rome, and the United States of America. and hence they relate to kingdoms and nations, except for Revelation 7, because obviously the beast is mentioned there, which is an atheistic power, and the nation it is exercised in is a horn, which is France, not a beast. So from that biblical data in Revelation 17:3, which has a beast and it has heads and horns, the beast appears to be a nation kingdom because of that other data. With a certain ideology, governance fulfilling Revelation 13, it certainly would fit in the second beast. You know, the republicanism, apostate republicanism, Protestantism, apostate Protestantism of the USA, not just a power like Revelation 11:7. But a separate particular nation with a particular government for that nation kingdom, both in its pure and apostate form. So from this, although this is not new, what I'm bringing out, it's interesting that there is more than one meaning to a beast in Revelation, other than just power, when it has heads and horns, because it denotes kingdoms or nations. So thank you for your input on that question. I was curious to see what you said, what you would share on that. And there's this quote I was mentioning earlier. I didn't put it up at the timing, that Ellen White, Spirit of Prophecy, she states, actually, can I ask a brother or sister to read it for us?
There will be a universal bond of union, one great harmony, a confederacy of Satan's forces. In the warfare to be waged in the last days, there will be united, in opposition to God's people, all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. Supplementary material on Revelation 17, 13, 14.
Thank you, dear sis. So good to hear you. So in continuing a review of last week, another quotation we looked at, in fact, I should have put this in the room as well. Because it's kind of connected. This is another quote we looked at last week, just to review. Would someone like to read that for us?
Starting with the Protestants. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. March. I don't know that. It's MAR 187, paragraph 5.
Oh, that's
Maranatha,
a trick, isn't it?
187.
Maranatha, absolutely. The Lord cometh. Thank you, dear sisters. Thank you for reading that. So that's roughly what we looked at last week in verses 12 and 13. So that takes us to, lo and behold, verse 14. And who would like to read that and anyone share any insights over it?
These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Amen. Thank you, dear bro. Wow. So what a showdown is taking place. They're all on one. They're so conglomerated. There's a unity, a harmony in the world. But it's a corrupt one. It's based on corrupt principles. It's accomplished. And from my understanding, the kings exist and the beasts exist, but now they're all together. They're all so conglomerated. You can't tell the one from the other to an extent because of their goal of world domination over the consciences of human beings. We've got a taste of that since 2020, haven't we? And certainly looking back in history. So the title, dear brother Bob just read, The Lord of Lords and King of Kings, is used in scripture of Christ as he returns to earth to vanquish the host of evil and to deliver his loyal people. We have it in 1 Timothy 6:15 and Revelation 19:16. And what does it mean to be they that are called? That's another literal way of saying invited to obtain eternal salvation. Remember, it said in Matthew 22, verses 3 and 14, Jesus said, sharing a parable, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. For many are called, or many are invited, but few are chosen because they decide they want to be part of it. So the chosen factor is another way of saying selected, which really shows you how good God is, because not all who are called, and the call's going out everywhere, qualify to be chosen. There's that distinction between called and chosen that Jesus brings out also, Matthew 22:14. We're told in John 1:12 that as many as received him, so it's not just a matter of being called, but you must receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of God, to them, even to them that believe on his name. So we have here a picture of those who are worthy of being trusted. They're faithful. Isn't that lovely? God referring to these people as faithful, reliable. Those who have been chosen must remain faithful even unto death. That's how it's brought out in Revelation 2:10. If necessary, in order to be counted with him, with Christ. So we know that faithful, the word additionally added faithful implies it's not sufficient to be called and chosen. Works will follow a genuine faith. If the root's correct, the fruit will be correct. But if the root's rotten, the fruit will be rotten. So in other words, those who once enter into the experience of grace through faith in Christ must remain in grace if they are to be eligible to enter the kingdom of glory. It was once asked, I think Sister White put it in Steps to Christ, that fantastic classic, that one asks, how am I to remain a Christian? And she says, well, quoting Paul, that as you've received Jesus Christ, walk ye in him. So not just receiving and it's, I was saved back in 99, as many people attempted to say. That's to talk about it as a past event. It's a continuous event that as you've received him, so walk ye in him, following the example, Jesus. If we're Christians, we'll so walk as he walked, who did no sin. We're told in, I'll put this in the room, this is from John 3:18-20. I'll put three quotes in there. It looks like I've found a couple of quotes here in relation to this. But it's quite pertinent to what it means to be faithful. Just put it in the room for us. Would someone like to read them to us?
John 3:18-20. Can you hear me? Thumbs up if you do. Okay, good. I'm on my cell phone today. My computer's down. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Ephesians 1:4. I guess it was John 3:10. Is that it? Or is there more down? Oh, there's more below. Let's see. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 3:20. I guess that's if you don't warn him, huh? Okay.
Oh, sorry, Brian. What was the question?
I said, according to this thing, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So it's the guy who didn't warn the fellow that has to pay a penalty of some sort. I don't know. Does he lose his soul too? That would be bad news.
Yeah, that's so true, bro. And he does, unless he changes, unless he repents, he can become the one that turns from his wickedness and has the blood of Jesus Christ covering his past sins. And then he's no longer the wicked person, but a righteous man, and none of the wickedness. I love the way God deals with it. He's so fair. He stays true and just as a, you know, the justness of truth he doesn't remove, but he has it with mercy dealing with us. And it's a fear. As you were reading that, I just thought, oh, you know, that's why as Christians we're called to witness. I mean, you read the first quote, which says, believeth, he that believeth in him. Now, a lot of people attempted to think, oh, yeah, that just means assent with your mouth. Of course, it does involve that. But belief goes more than anything. As I was sharing with someone, Charlie was his name, met him in Kings Park. I was interviewing him. I haven't put it on the YouTube channel, Truth is Truth. It's just maybe one day I might. But he was sharing with me, no, beliefs don't have anything to do with your practices. I said, are you sure about that? You're a man. You're a husband. You're a father. Are you sure about that? He assured me. Oh, yeah. Doesn't. But, of course, it does have everything to do with it, directly, indirectly, what one believes. So there's more than belief involved. Belief goes into the very heart of a person, and the fruits reveal if that faith is genuine and true. Thank you for reading, bro. It must be very hard to read it on your little phone. Thank you for doing so. Oh, there was a couple of more. Bro, would you like to read the last part? An answer to your question. I did put a bit more there. Didn't think it kind of ended the story. Let Ezekiel speak. Would you like to read those last two?
Oh, yeah, okay. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? all his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Ezekiel 18:24. Therefore thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. For as the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Ezekiel 33:12. Wow.
Amen. Wow. Well, isn't God just and merciful? Not alone just, but merciful. He really does want us to live forever, doesn't he? I met a man yesterday. He said, oh, Jesus didn't die for, oh, no, it was a woman. Jesus didn't die for our sins. It was only particular people. I said, are you saying we're without sin? There's some people or many people without it? No, but it's just for those that, I can't remember what she said just now, but it's a sad thing when someone comes to that conclusion. It's like two standards, but God's not like that. He's not double-minded, says one thing and does another. I mean, people that are superficial in reading the Bible might come to that conclusion, but if they took the time to study, even to read what others have put together using scripture on a particular subject, they'll see, aha, there is harmony here. And that through 1600 years and 40 authors inspired by God. So when people say to you, oh yeah, but the Bible was written by men, and they say it in a negative sense, don't they? Just got it told yesterday a couple of times. You can clearly say to them, over 1600 years through over 40 authors, and yet the message agrees from first to last, Genesis to Revelation. Have you read it yet? I've got a whole library at home. Would you like one? It's called the Bible, 66 books. Well, there are some other quotes I wanted to share with you. It comes from the Spirit of Prophecy. And I've put a line when one quotation starts and finishes. Aren't I kind? I haven't been doing that in the past. I know I can make it a bit hard. But I did remember. So there's a number of quotes I wanted us to look at on this particular verse that we're looking at. In fact, before I do that, does anyone have anything they'd like to share what we've looked at thus far?
Yeah, the term, thee shall make war with the Lamb. Now, we look at warfare as people actually fighting against Christ in this instance. And so our mind goes to like, well, the devil fights against Christ, non-Christians fight against Christ, etc. But when Christ, who is the truth, brings to your understanding through the Spirit that there is a truth that you are not following, and you refuse to follow it, you are fighting against the truth, thus you're making war with the Lamb. So it goes beyond just individuals fighting against salvation. It goes to even those individuals who believe they have salvation, but are unwilling to follow every aspect of truth.
Amen. Amen. And the warfare to be waged in the last days in which we live, it's so critical isn't it? It's everyone's going to be warned. Everyone's going to have to make a decision. They can't say, oh, I didn't know. Or I decided not to know. Of course, they can still do that, but the information was there to know. They've all had to make a decision because they want to either save themselves because they want food. They want, you know, what they're used to. They want to have a mortgage or have someone else paying for it. What's that famous, well, not a famous, but it is famous, you know, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy attitude. Either or, there's that commitment either to God's word and his word alone over what others say God's word is and say it's for the good of humanity. And of course they have this angelic being claiming to be Christ come back the second time for his kingdom building and to fulfill it. That's a good point, bro. You know, it just goes to show, I think, what Brother Bob just shared is how dangerous it only takes one sin to be lost. You remember the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus? Good master, what thing must I do to be saved? And Jesus gives him commandments. He said, oh, I've done this from my youth up. Wow, impressive. But Jesus saw that he had a covetous heart. And because he is very rich, he went away sorrowing because he wasn't going to give that up to help the poor and follow Jesus. And Jesus said in response, you're going to have eternal life by so doing. It's interesting. Just one thing is going to keep you and I out of eternal, of heaven and of the earth made new. So, you know, it's going to be burnt in the conflagration, the lake of fire, where you see no light of day thereafter. It's eternal death. So that, it's a very good thing for us to remember this in light of the fact that God's grace is able to keep us. Where sin abounds, where sins abounded in us, grace doth much more abound to the believer who trusts that the Holy Spirit has overcoming power against our inherited and cultivated tendencies to evil if we will let him.
The so-called Christian world is to be the theater of great and decisive actions. Men in authority will enact laws controlling the conscience after the example of the papacy. Babylon will make all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Every nation will be involved. Of this time, John the Revelator declares, in Revelation 18:3-7 and 17:13-14. These have one mind. There will be a universal bond of union, one great harmony, a confederacy of Satan's forces, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Thus is manifested the same arbitrary, oppressive power against religious liberty, freedom to worship God according to the dictates of conscience, as was manifested by the papacy when in the past it persecuted those who dared to refuse to conform with the religious rites and ceremonies of Romanism. That was from Selected Messages, Book 3, page 392. In the great conflict between faith and unbelief, the whole Christian world will be involved. That's from Review and Herald, February 7, 1893. All Christendom will be divided into two great classes, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and those who worship the beast and his image and receive his mark. Great Controversy, page 450. As the Sabbath has become the special point of controversy throughout Christendom, and religious and secular authorities have combined to enforce the observance of the Sunday, the persistent refusal of a small minority to yield to the popular demand will make them objects of universal execration. A Great Controversy, page 615. As the decree issued by the various rulers of Christendom against commandment keepers shall withdraw the protection of government and abandon them to those who desire their destruction, the people of God will flee from the cities and villages and associate together in companies dwelling in the most desolate and solitary places. That's Great Controversy, page 626.
Like the Waldenses did in the Alps around Italy.
Thank you, bro. Well, the next quotation, that solemn statements, right? That's the Bible and the spirit of prophecy for you. The Sabbath is the great test question. It is the line of demarcation between the loyal and true and the disloyal and transgressor. This Sabbath, God has enjoined, and those who claim to be commandment keepers, who believe that they are now under the proclamation of the third angel's message, we'll see the important part the Sabbath of the fourth commandment holds in that message. It is the seal of the living God. They will not lessen the claims of the Sabbath to suit their business of convenience. Manuscript 34, 1897. John, in the Revelation, writes of the unity of those living on the earth to make void the law of God. You've got the unity of God's people, the unity of the devil's people. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 17, 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Three selected messages, page 423. Would someone like to read the next quote?
We need to study the pouring out of the seventh vial. The powers of evil will not yield up the conflict without a struggle. But Providence has a part to act in the Battle of Armageddon. When the earth is lighted with the glory of the angel of Revelation 18, the religious elements, good and evil, will awake from slumber, and the armies of the living God will take the field. Maranatha 2:57. Four mighty angels hold back the powers of this earth till the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. The nations of the world are eager for conflict, but they are held in check by the angels. When this restraining power is removed, there will come a time of trouble and anguish. Deadly instruments of warfare will be invented. Vessels with their living cargo will be entombed in the great deep. All who have not the spirit of truth will unite under the leadership of satanic agencies, but they are to be kept under control till the time shall come for the great battle of Armageddon. Maranatha, page 257. Every form of evil is to spring into intense activity. Evil angels unite their power with evil men, and as they have been in constant conflict and attained and experienced in the best modes of deception and battle, and have been strengthening for centuries, they will not yield the last great final contest without a desperate struggle. All the world will be on one side or the other of the question. The battle of Armageddon will be fought, and that day must find none of us sleeping. Wide awake we must be, as wise virgins having oil in our vessels with our lamps. Maranatha 257. The power of the Holy Ghost must be upon us, and the captain of the Lord's host will stand at the head of the angels of heaven to direct the battle. Solemn events before us are yet to transpire. Trumpet after trumpet is to be sounded, vial after vial poured out one after another upon the inhabitants of the earth. Scenes of stupendous interest are right upon us. Maranatha 257. Do I stop there?
Would you like to read the next portion?
I will. Religious powers allied to heaven by profession and claiming to have the characteristics of a lamb will show by their acts that they have the heart of a dragon and that they are instigated and controlled by Satan. The time is coming when God's people will feel a hand of persecution because they keep holy the seventh day. Satan has caused a change of the Sabbath in the hope of carrying out his purpose for the defeat of God's plans. He seeks to make the commands of God of less force in the world than human laws. The man of sin who thought to change times and laws and who has always oppressed the people of God, will cause laws to be made enforcing the observance of the first day of the week. But God's people are to stand firm for him, and the Lord will work in their behalf, showing plainly that he is the God of gods. Manuscript 135, 1902. John, in the Revelation, writes of the unity of those living on the earth to make void the law of God. Revelation 17:13 and 14:16-13 quoted.
Thank you, sis. Coming across loud and clear, so good to hear you. And that last quote was 14 Manuscript Releases, page 90. Sometimes there's a repetition here, and thank you for being patient, and it never hurts to hear something said more than once. Very much needed. And I think that last portion, or the second last portion, is fascinating. The man of sin who thought to change times and laws and has always oppressed the people of God will cause laws to be made enforcing the observance of the first day of the week. Here he is in the old world and in the new with the apostate Protestantism and spiritualism. Praise the Lord. There is a side and there is a people that's not going to yield. This is good news for us, isn't it? The great controversy between light and darkness, Christ and Satan, truth and error. Well, amen. We might leave it there in terms of reading anything more. Next week we'll look at verse 15. As you know, the plot thickens. And looking forward to that. But does anyone have anything they'd like to share in terms of what we've looked at overall today? Please feel free to share.
I was thinking of today's laws where they tried to force everyone to get vaccinated. And you just have to remind people, excuse me, that force is being used by the evil ones. God does not use force. That's the devil's way.
Amen. Sort of continuing on the same thought I had regarding Revelation 17:14. The next part of that, after make war with the Lamb, says the Lamb shall overcome them. And again, we look at that as Christ winning the battle over those who make war with him. But that can also go two ways. Christ is that rock. And people have a choice to fall on the rock themselves and be broken. So Christ has overcome the selfishness in their heart. Or they can wait until it's forever too late, and then that rock will crush them and grind them to powder where they're no longer existing. So Christ is going to overcome both groups. One is a voluntary allowing Christ to overcome. The other is something that they cannot escape. And again, we have the choice.
You know, I think it's amazing when I talked to Frank, that's the fellow that's helping me, about the Sabbath. He knows about the Sabbath, but he is very proud of the fact that he was the only one in his family that went to catechism and went into the Catholic Church. And he's like, doesn't hear anything about the Sabbath. It's amazing how he can be so deaf. But I don't condemn him. I just keep talking to him about God makes laws, and if God says something, I'm going to follow him rather than follow what man says. And he agrees, but he's still very proud of himself for going to church on Sunday.
See, you remind me of going door to door. I say it to Protestants and Catholics. Have you ever read the Roman Catholic Catechism and their version of commandments? Did you know God? Did you know an organization changed the Ten Commandments, the Roman Catholic Church? Does he know about the Second Commandment, sis, being removed?
Were you asking me a question?
I was just saying, does Frank know, has he read the Roman Catholic Catechism, and does he know the Second Commandment was removed and the Tenth Commandment of God's was divided into two to retain the number?
I've told him about that, but he just sticks to one thing, and that's he's very proud of himself for going to church and learning about the catechism and all of that. He just he's like turns his hearing off or his cognition off or something. He doesn't want to, but he respects my wishes for him not to work on the Sabbath, and even says, you know, oh, I can't come over to your house and do that because it's the Sabbath. But he still works on the Sabbath in other places. So he hears it, but he doesn't internalize it. And it's almost like a robot. And that kind of reminds me of people at the end of the world, so to speak. They're just like numb. They know what other people say, but they don't believe it. And it's like they don't hear it and they don't internalize it.
Yeah, spiritually intoxicated. Yeah, amen, bro. We'll continue holding him in prayers, definitely. When to put a point out there, in verse 14, we've got here that, and these shall make war with the Lamb. So they're all going against the Lamb. They're doing what they're doing. The mark of the beast they're enforcing. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Now, the Lamb, we know Jesus doesn't cause the natural disasters to increase, but it's actually the devil. So when is this referring? What do you think? How do you think the Lamb's overcoming them? Other than the fact that there are people that aren't following man's commandments, which is proof of the Lamb living in them, Jesus Christ ruling their hearts, minds, and lives. But what's the external factor? How is the Lamb overcoming them? And ultimately, do you get my drift? How does he overcome them ultimately? In the scheme of things, it would obviously ultimately it's the second coming, but what comes before that? Of course, it would be the plagues. They are overcome in their own sins.
The other day, Frank was talking about God sending a plague down on the homosexuals, and he was getting the incidents of Sodom and Gomorrah mixed up with a virus like the monkeypox. And I said, well, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah were not destroyed by a virus. They were destroyed by fire and brimstone. And I went to explain that brimstone was hotter than fire. And he was very interested. And he said, well, he heard on TV that God had sent a virus down recently on a group of people, and it could be the monkeypox. And I said, well, if you read the Bible, it doesn't say anything about monkeypox, but it does say something about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen. Sorry for calling you a bro, sis, before. I think I called you apparently a bro. That only happens in the Bible, doesn't it? Sons of God. Generic. Well, thank you for sharing that insight, sis. And, you know, it's amazing the biblical illiteracy that exists out there. I'm sorry, the biblical illiteracy, that's the right word for it. I was blessed to, that's our job to get it out there, isn't it? The Ezekiel warning, chapter 3 and 18, mentioned a number of times. I wanted to share, you got to give out 28 great controversies, the world crisis foretold, and death to be feared, and what happens at death. That's exciting. And Lord willing, we'll go out today again, hopefully, after lunchtime, see what we can do. It's such a blessing. I say to Lucy, sometimes you get stopped and you might have a long talk, but in a short period of time, 14 books were taken from me. And that was fantastic. That only took a couple of hours. So that's great. What a blessing. Do brothers and sisters have anything they'd like to share? Any testimonies? Any comments? Insights? Any thing they'd like to share? Song requests, etc. Does everyone know this song? All creatures, let's see, what do they call it here? All creatures of our God and King. If anyone does, feel free to take a verse. In fact, I've got to ask myself, do I know it? Does someone know this song, the tune? I might have to.
I think the words are beautiful, but I don't know the tune.
All creatures worship God Most High. Lift up your voice in earth and sky. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh sing ye, hallelujah. Alleluia, Alleluia.
I guess I do know the melody. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, Alleluia. Hallelujah. Thou rising morning, praise rejoice. Ye nights of evening, find a voice. Oh, sing ye. Oh, sing ye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And thou flowing water pure and clear, make music for thy God to hear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou fire so masterful and bright, that giveth all both warmth and light. Oh, sing ye, oh, sing ye, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Dear Urs, who day by day unfoldest blessings on our way. Alleluia, alleluia. The flowers and fruits that in thee grow, let them God's glory also show. Oh, sing ye, oh, sing ye, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
And everyone with tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Alleluia, alleluia. Ye who all pain and sorrow bear, sing praise and cast on God your care. Oh, sing ye, oh, sing ye, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
And thou most kind and gentle death, waiting to hush our final breath, alleluia, alleluia. Thou leadest home the child of God, as Christ before that way hath trod. Oh, sing ye, oh, sing ye, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Amen. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship God in humbleness. Alleluia, alleluia. To God all thanks and praise belong. Join in the everlasting song. Oh, sing ye, oh, sing ye, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thank you, dear bro, for remembering it so quickly. What a blessing. You saved a visit to the YouTube. Has anyone seen Sister Chaka lately? I say seen in internet terms. Anyone heard from her lately? Does she come to Sabbath meetings, American time?
She was in last week. I think it was a Friday evening, but we didn't see her Sabbath. But Michelle talked to her tonight. And she said she wouldn't be in tonight's meeting, but possibly Friday evening or Sabbath coming. So I guess Michelle can give you a little more insight if there was more to the conversation than that.
I just called her to let her know that the next women's meeting will be October the 3rd. And that we were going to be gone. But the Wednesday night meeting with Brother James and the Friday night meeting and the Sabbath meetings were still going to go on. And she goes, oh, okay. And then she said that she probably wouldn't be in to tonight's meeting, but she may be in on Friday evening or Sabbath. I don't remember which she said at the moment. So, but that's what she's doing. She's doing good. She told me she's doing great. And so, but anyway, so that's update on Sister Chaka.
Thank you for the updates. Yeah, I did see, I didn't look at my numbers. I've got the three last numbers of Sister Dixie and Chaka. I didn't look at it, so it was Sister Chaka, was it? Last Sabbath. Oh, that's great. So sure, we did see her. We just didn't hear from her. We usually hear from her, don't we? Sister Dixie, not always, but Sister Chaka usually. So, oh, that's good to know she's prospering. And in good health, as John said, even as thy soul prospers. 3 John 2. Well, does anyone have anything they'd like to share before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please go right ahead.
This may sound frivolous, but it's very bothersome. I have a raccoon that comes into my yard and eats the cat food that I have down for the feral cats and tips over their water dish. And then he further goes into the fountain, which the birds love to take a bath in and drink during the hot days. And he fouls the water up. He makes it very dirty. And you can't run the pump when the water's all dirty like that. And I'm unable to go out and clean it all up. And Frank only comes over 3 days a week. So I have to leave the pump off and it's going to be weather in the 100 to 106 degrees. And the fountain is cleaned out right now. There's cat food down for the feral cats. And I just pray that the raccoon doesn't come and mess things up, so the birds can't get water or take a bath during the hot weather. So I know God takes care of his creatures. So I'm asking that God will keep that coon somewhere else.
Well, thank you for sharing that, sis. Nothing is of small notice to God to look to and care for and over. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer? I'll go first. If anyone would like to pray, please feel free to go thereafter. And if you're able, let's kneel. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for these privileges that you grace us with. They're so important, along with other activities that you've provided for us, that you've spurred us on to be involved in, to get acquainted with in studies, in whether it be prophecy, health, history, and the various other features that are born out in the Book of Books. Thank you so much for showing us your love and kindness and your willingness to save us, and that the plan of redemption, the plan of through sanctification of the truth, is not a sinner repent mentality, but a genuineness from the heart, heart service, heart repentance. We know we can't fool you. You're greater than our heart, and if our heart's condemning us, that should awaken us to the realization that you know all about it in greater detail. We thank you for taking care of us and not leaving us without the Holy Spirit to know the times in which we live and the privilege that it is to share our faith with others in love and to show them the happiness that's born of heaven, because we know the past, the present, and where the future is going. And what side is always available for us to choose, even Christ's side of the matter, and not that which parades itself as such, or goes by name as being a follower, and has no higher authority than custom and tradition for its beliefs. Help us be increase in being an able apologist as Christians in all areas, especially, of course, salvational doctrines that are being shoved under the cover, under the rug, so to speak, by multitudes, by Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and her children, her daughter children. We thank you that our dear Sister Chak is going okay, and that the women's meetings and meetings today and Sabbath meetings and Friday night meetings, that they continue to be had without difficulty. We're not in hiding. And may we treasure these moments and those outside of it that we spend and have relative freedom still in this day, where we are told is drastically, absolutely drastically going to change, and we have harbingers, omens all about us, showing us, you graciously allowing us to see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears, that we know the time is near. The signs of the times are speaking louder, and we're thankful to get to see the things that prophets and apostles saw in vision coming, where we are actually hearing and seeing it and knowing it, and a lot of it, looking back on, it's already been more than 150 years ago. And, of course, has been increasing. May difficult circumstances that face us, challenges, may we look at difficult circumstances rather as challenges and believe that above all things, to have the peace of God dwelling in our hearts and to be content, food and raiment, such things we have, contentment, that we're told we claim the promise of contentment with godliness is great gain, and that we see character building as the ultimate purpose of our lives after Christ's divine similitude, perfect example as a man, that we all may follow with the help of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for making it possible for precious souls to continue to be awakened in a various a wide array of ways to helping them see the loving God of the Bible, the loving Son of God of the Bible, the loving Holy Spirit who wants to be an abiding eternal guest within one and give them the hope of eternal life and then reality thereafter when faithful to the end. Help us, Jesus, shine brighter. So, well, brighter according to the person or people where before, so that they don't get blind, that there's not too much brightness, not too much truth shared, but also that we're not dim, so they don't even know we're there. They don't even know who Jesus is. They don't even know what the Bible is, what it means to be sanctified through the truth, because it's truth and it's objective. And in saying that, help us increase in brightness nevertheless, so that multitudes might become more aware of it to fight against the darkness that is increasing all around us and gross darkness to people. And thank you for understanding all our needs and giving us more than we ask or think when we delight ourselves in the Lord. You'll give us the delight of our heart. In Jesus we thank and pray. Be with our brethren and sisters preparing for bed. And those of us that have the day before us, that our watchword, our meditations will be of God's word, of the Holy Spirit fighting against the flesh, and we not making provision for it. In Jesus we pray and thank. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as always for being here with us and with our dear brother James as he has led us through more of the book of Revelation. We are all intensely interested in this as we endeavor to understand your description regarding these last days. We thank you too for bringing us safely through another week, for keeping us safe from all the dangers that Satan keeps on putting in our way, for giving us travel mercies as well, and for enabling us in so many ways to show your light shining through us by the way we live our lives. May we be enabled to do this even more, Lord, to witness not only directly but indirectly as well to those with whom we come in contact. We ask too that you forgive us our sins, undeserving though we may often feel, provided of course that we are truly repentant, and that we may remember fully all the sins we have committed so that we can properly ask your forgiveness. And all of this is asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for waking us up this morning and for recognizing each of our personalities and the things that make us happy, and for providing for that happiness. Thank you for noticing all the little things that we worry about and taking that worry away because we can put it in your hands. We know that without you, life would be hopeless, like the song says, that we'd surely die, but we know that we can place ourselves in your hands and trust that whatever you think is best for us That's what we want to do. Be with those people that we have reached out to and send a potion, so to speak, to soften their hearts, not by force, but by thy great love. Help us to say the right words. Send the Holy Spirit to give us that understanding and patience. We ask that you will be with those who are hurting, those that are confused, dismayed, swallowed up with worry and fear. We ask that you will help us to show them a way, or if we're not in contact with them, to send the Holy Spirit to lead them. Thank you, dear Lord, for our guardian angels that watch over us. We ask that you will be especially cognizant of Let There Be Light Ministries, be with each person all over the world, be with those conducting meetings, that their meetings are successful because they're talking to others about you. Thank you for Brother James, who is able to pass out books to those, help them to read those books that they have. Help our words to be soothing to others or instructional to others, so that we may see them again, if not on this earth, then in heaven. Thank you, dear Lord, for being a God who answers prayers, who hears our prayers, and who answers them in the best way. And thank you, Lord, for the creatures you give us to take care of and keep them safe and keep them cool in this hot, hot weather. Thank you, dear Lord, for hearing and answering this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, sisters and brethren. Well, 10:33 our time. Anything, any last thoughts anyone wants to share? Good night, Brother Joel. Thank you for joining us. See you Friday. Friday for you. Sabbath morning, I think, very early. Looking forward to it, my friend. Hugs and love to you. And prayers with and for you. Is there any last thoughts anyone wants to share before we ask our dear brother, Dickie G, Brother Dick Richard, to sing us away? Well, I think that's a silence. That's a no. It's been a privilege to be with you this morning. Won't be long. It should be Sabbath for us and Friday for you. Sabbath preparation day. We'll be in fellowship once again. May God continue to guide and lead you in all areas according to his perfect will, which is his will for you all. Take it away, dear Brother Dick, till we meet again.
Keep looking up, my God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on me.